Hello. I want to begin by saying that several years ago, I asked Charlotte, my wife, what she wanted for her birthday present. Her birthday is on the 22nd of November, which is the feast of Saint Cecilia, patron of music, and of the birthday of Benjamin Britten and Charles de Gaulle, whose favorite cheese was mimolette. I like mimolette too. Hint. She said, I would like you to give a reading. And I did so. And since then, every year, which is what, 3 or 4 years, I guess, I have done a reading for her birthday. This year, it's missed by a week or more because the 22nd this year, people were thankful for other things. And only I was thankful for Charlotte that particular day. But now, a week or so later, with the kind compliance of the Georgian Choral Society, Georgian as in Kartvelian, Svanethian, Caucasus, Trubetskoy, that kind of Georgian, and also Jewish, all those people. With the connivance of that kind society, they moved to Olin and allowed this room to be for us. I want to thank you very much for coming and honoring Charlotte's birthday with me, letting me give her a birthday present again. So what I'd like to do is read relatively recent work, that is, of the past year or so. About this time last year, I began a series of pieces which I called Steps. Each one was Steps, that is, I was thinking of a kind of formal arrangement, like a set of steps, but the sorts of steps we have around here, not the kind that you have in civilized places where each step is the same size, you know, but, you know, where you go, as in going to the president's house, where you have to negotiate each step as a separate geometrical operation, if you're good at that kind of thing. Steps like that, steps that were intervallic without being congruent. So that was my concern. So I want to start, but these would be the earliest work I'll be reading. So I'll read some of those. I brought another pair of glasses on so I could maybe read without putting the book in front of my snout, which I usually have to do for a time. I think this is. So the first one is called Steps 1, Demon Lover. Will fares the dumb. Energumen, demon lover, inside actual speech, infer men. To chisel section, guide the other, kind to altars everywhere, kinfolk with cobs. Don't believe what the woods say, thou art. Close upon hawk in oak, thought a species of god, arms around, soft remember, say all their names, slow slide surely, furious mental metabolisms recurve, unbend the strip ship of time, and their mother is at last nude of her need, and all giving the arms she gave. You are the arms she hug her, you hug her with. When the preacher comes to call, not be home. Greeting card philosophy, religion plays, two tongues in one mouth, Olympics of the kiss, all suicides suddenly undone. In wagon hunger, in divorce, the car and everything and was gone. Blessed sacrament of split, the emperor free again for new mistakes, tree drift, sparrow spasm love, comes thrusting self anew, this robot heart, this thirst. Let welter what wants, no story to tell, waits the fuller word to spill seed as seed. It is heart of pale sky, the missing augment, blank check, rose tree, arboreal posture. We are descended from the left eye of God, feather hefty, mark worthy moral, work fit, but saw we a fairy and fled or become one, so hurried home, embraced the marvel, maid servant wrote, our will left the window to the door, cold of eye, snug the battery, into the retaining O-ring rubber, turn a dark on the light, on the doings, self-same stranger, bitter gourd, the all-creating measure only, count the long side, the need to trust, shoehorn sympathy into the shabby obvious of wanting, as tops of tulip trees are loftiest twilight, here keep sun. But where is it, the actual man chewing gum, leaning up against gum machine it came from, like the girl he wants it to be, the man who smells of wintergreen, linen, smells of pain, not so much a question as a shared mistake, kiss me, for example, or a weekend in Quebec. But where's the blue girl who stole all color from the sky and left her lovers only night behind the bare trees, true? The girl they call girl, sun on lawns, missed two fingers, trying to hold on to the beautiful nothing left. The girl they call girl is, of course, Kuraber, Persephone, whose name Kuraber just means the girl. Here's another grievous. This is steps 5. That is the longest of the steps that I'll read tonight, I think. This is called Aletheia, the Greek word for truth. Literally, that which is not forgotten. You are what is not forgotten, the opening of the first door. You are what I have not forgotten. You are what I will remember. You will be the always and the next thing and the again, opening of the second door. Sometimes people remember music. Sometimes people remember. Sometimes the pianist forgets the keys, forgets what white means, and what does black mean, and why are they so small and far away. Or she remembers them, but forgets what she's supposed to say. What is music supposed to say? The opening of the third door. Sometimes she forgets her hands. Sometimes the hunter stands in the woods at dawn, wondering why he's there. He forgets what his business is and why he has a shotgun in his hands, an arrow in his fingers. Why does he study the vanishing darkness for a hint of something moving? He forgets he is the only person in the woods, the only person in the world, opening of the fourth door. When you know you're the only person in the world, it all depends on you. This is the moral universe that penetrates our world like a sheet of light. Headlights scrape our bedroom windows, and the cars never know what their lights show. Blind lights, they forget to know. You never forget. You are the only person in the world, opening of the fifth door. And there they are, the unforgotten, the animals. The Greeks called them aletheia, the unforgotten, the truth. The whole truth of the world is an animal. Truth is an animal, a bird at dawn, a wild duck evading the hunter's shot. Duck now, safe in the darkness, safe in the light. Forgotten into the unforgotten, the opening of the sixth door. And there the light is waiting, and you are often standing there, standing in light, standing in for light, when I have forgotten everything but you. No one but you, says the light. There is only one light. A door is to go through and see where this leads to, because there's always another chamber of you, another place to go. I can't remember. I can't remember all the places you are, places we have been. Forget forgetting, forget remembering. A door is sometimes the only a door, and no rooms on either side. That is a door. A door is a moment that lasts forever. They call it a life because it lingers and it lasts, because it is a wife and doesn't know how to forget. and everything always aspires to be music, the thing that is always on its way to you, always on its way to each other, opening of the seventh door. And here we are, where there are no numbers. They are not numbers, not shadows, not doors, not animals, not birds. They are a little like arrows, flying very high and no one knows where they fall. A little like arrows, only there is only one of them, only one. Pure going, as in going with you. In going with you, everything is all it can be. And here we are, nothing forgotten at last. That was, it goes without saying for Charlotte. Maybe it shouldn't go without saying, it just be said. Let's see. That is also going to be, that piece is going to be in the Hudson Valley Poetry Anthology being edited even at this instant by Anne Gorick and Sam Truitt and Deborah Pohl, is that right? As is this one, The Rattle. The poet Jerome Rothenberg, a dear old friend, used to have, may still have, in his house in California, a collection of rattles. A collection of rattles. Ethnic objects, you know, rattles. Not the kind that plastic kind that babies are supposed to play with in cartoons, but things that grown shamans make and use. So I wrote a poem to Jerry a couple of years ago about his rattles, and he answered me with a poem about rattles. He has rattles. I don't have rattles, but we can exchange remarks about it. But I couldn't stop thinking about rattles. So this is step six. Like a rattle. Better?
Yes.
Better? Je l'aime. That was the polite you. The rattle. The ache, is this better? The ache of every clatters in the man's rattle. It says we're hurting here, come near, come share our pain. The ancestors take deep breaths using our lungs, our breath. Now they breathe in us, rattle, clatter. Dried beans in hollow gourd, you know how it's done. It's the same everywhere. Every heart is hollow, pebbles in a shell. Every heart knows how to hollow. Tree, gum, seals, the shells, dry. They are dry. They are the driest word a hand can speak. The ancestors swim towards us through an ocean of what we think is air. It is not air we breathe. It is a very special gas of seeming. No animal inhales. We are alone in the earth. They swim towards us to be dry again, to celebrate the ritual of silence we cherish. For them, we are silent. It is so noisy being dead. They come to us to hear our silence. Do you hear me? Silence is a rattle. Silence wakes the heart. The rattle calls them, calls to dry comfort, dry joy of being. Being only one person at a time. The joy of being one. You don't have to be special to know this. Don't need a priest to do this. A rattle rattles in anybody's hands. But to speak to them when they come, that is not easy. Especially when it's for silence they come. Silence of the rattle. The ancestors are very young. They have forgotten a lot. They count on you to remember. Forgotten how to understand things so easy for you. the way a knee bends only one way, or a tongue curls in so wet a mouth. The ancestors are younger than you are. The ancestors are your children. They want to come again. Sometimes you see their footprints in the mud, the snow, rattle of hail on a tin roof. They are coming now. You had to pick the gourd up. You had to shake it. You shook it. A rattle means silence. The rattle woke the dead. The cloud heard you. Rain hurried to drown the dry sound out. You shook the rattle and they came. And they are here. Now you are the one to whom they came. Deal with them. Take their silence into yours and speak it. This is how the people learn to sing. Singing is learning how to leave space, learning to let the groin speak through the throat, to come to life again. Singing is the ancestors in you, force of their silence. Singing is turning the body inside out. Against my usual practice, I'm going to read some already published poems. But since they were just published this week, I suppose it's all. It's in the magazine Conjunctions, the marvelous giant, cuneiform brick of a magazine that was published by the great Bradford Mark, edited by Bradford Mark, and published here at Borough. This issue also has a chapter from a section of Eating with Des, new children novel. I'm very drawn to the elegy format, as you can tell already. Any of the steps you've heard could readily enough have been called elegies, not in the Greek and Latin sense of the elegiac distich, the long line, short line effect of the so-called elegies of the Greeks, and but elegies in another sense of poems that are essentially mourning things that are not forgotten. So there are two of them in the latest conjunction. The first is called Elegy for the Weather, and it's the longest piece. Chemical ring, mystery bond, coupled at the level of the hip. Who cares if nobody reads this? Everybody is welcome, and welcome is all that matters, to welcome and to praise. Here, Binny, cried Bruckner. That's all a word can say. Here I am, loud and boisterous, at your door, a bottle under each arm, threatened to stay inside you for days or years, my endless opera. Words of the true invaders of the house occupy your mind. I touch each one. I am the dancing master of this disaster. I ripen consequences up on the leafy stems of what you think. I interfere. Be quiet, Vates. Your tune will come. Your drone become the epic children suffer through in school. Your radiant imagery, their tediums. Can that word have a plural? Are you even listening? This is about the doubt resident in saying anything. The bluebells on Betty's lawn, her tumbled columbine. It makes you think, sir. It puzzles you with otherness. That smells suddenly like your own skin. Remember skin? The touch, he rants about, is more quick than silver, tarnishes, doesn't last, isn't even toxic, or not very, but stains the brain like walnut juice from hard, green, pebbly rotundities used to rain down on the lawn before the hurricane and my poor tree went down. Reminds me of your voice on the phone. Call from midnight, promising emotions slow eternity. I remembered deer tiptoeing on the lawn, always afraid, always vanishing. Believe them, stumble into language as into the arms of a lover who promises everything, who might one day even be a friend. Endure, endure. The policy of the stone is best. Listen to pure reverberation. Accept thirstily unchanged. O God, the thirsty stones. Accept what is poured out over you, the hand that picks you up or lets you fall, back where the world, that presumptuous gravity, wants you to be. Glisten while you can. Wake up, stone. I summon thee, and who better to wake than what is firm and certain, made of many elements, all turned into one word, be strong, stone, be man. Now the caravan can start, splay-footed in the desert, camels, lions, leaping onto the wound, hurtlessly boisterous. That word again, that can't be me. Intermediate rapture, postgraduate extase, the kids leap off the dock as the ferry hauls away. I'm thinking of all her perfumes, the mere disclosure of chemic bond. Read the manual. Scattershot, glad to be home in you. I love your lap. So many martyred for being other. Motherless despots alarmed at the merely human world. Teach them to be meek, breezes. Teach them milk. Is there any way to anything? A road to learn all this? Sparkling salt. Sparkling stardust you call sulfur, I call dull yellow. She calls her cat peeing on the rose bush. He calls getting even with the world's cruel thorns that spike our joys with intoxicating pain. Meek danger. Begin to lay on the antidote. Lovesick art. Bring Prussian blue Crayolas and rough paper. Bring graphite chunks and fumes of turpentine. Bring lipstick from your sister's drawer and granddad's ancient Zippo lighter. Now you're talking. Wheel flint to flame. Smear color on the tepid world by minutest observation of particulars. Song beat heard on leaf, stilled in conversation. Listen between what's said. Waterfall turns into Nile. Can reach unlikely oceans. Landlocked philosophy of rational men. Angles in his heart knew better. For compassion without wisdom availeth not. Let him praise at least the comforting angels of the lower air, those girls. I watched the wake, turbulent, spread wide, wedged in the bay behind us, the view haunted by spray from windward, daunting tom-tom of the engine, churning us through the harmless, accurate, the sea. That's just memory. What else is in your wallet? Tense the word, brace it. But the shank of the screw snapped through. A fresh breeze, steel, bears our weights reluctantly. Mirrors are the strangest of all metals. They hold us all. But if once the sight of her shatters glass as it breaks my heart, pish tush, you have a scant heart to break, amigo. Por favor, lo hacer sin corazón. Enough border talk. Give me the moon oil. Give me gratifying Friday midnight and spoon-fed Sundays. Belle Epoque, come every day. Nestle pie and busy aftermaths. Wake in clover. Time for prayer. To keep this starry craft afloat, headed straight to New Jerusalem. Clouds my sail, the crows my captain. Something had to change. The debilitating habits of his dream spilled into matins. Reflections, all those dark prequels the night is full of. And then the phone rang. It was a mystery story, yearning to be told, about hang gliding and Christ on Corcovado, and how to spend money in poor countries ethically, how to solve equations with two unknowns and no bedspread. Look, a lizard on the ceiling. In Delhi that time, too hot to breathe. You mean you sweat it? With the effort of each breath. Yes, that's more like it. But where are the birds today? I've seen not one. Call the doctor. Add ambergris and oil the pulpit. That old dry wood needs all the jism it can get. Oil of semaphore, grease of separation. But I did hear crows. They were excited. They were giving warning. They were loud. They were here. Be still while I catch your breath. Clouds shield us from disaster. In blue transparency, our lives are sealed. I haven't been, I'm afraid, writing many short poems lately. Or rather, I write a lot of very short poems, but it doesn't do to read them. It's just like patting someone on the cheek. You want really to soften or put abreast them or make them or do something longer. The second elegy I'll read is much shorter than the first, and it's called Celiac Elegy. Unless you think this is about what's going on in that unfortunate country. Celiac here is the species of the Rose of Sharon, the Lissa Celiac, Hibiscus Celiac. Celiac Elegy. The import of rosy flowers on a green bush, very green, mandibular impulse at peace, no engulfing needed now. Though there are those who swallow mirrors and the walls left bare, the shadows slinking homeward from the rowdy fair late sunk, clouds of organdy, air a challenge, heavyweight atmosphere knockout punch, hide me in your bosom, child. I am the annotation, and you are the text. You must have already guessed the flowers, what kind they are. You know how little I know. So few names, botany 101, so long ago, you can tell by the shade of green. The woman I'm not thinking of, the church I never visit, the music rattling on in the back of my head, the chipmunk glimpsed in the breezeway. Or was it a rat? What was all that about mirrors? Do you mean those women from Miami who stand nervous at the ocean's edge, worrying about Cuba or their husbands, the intractable mercies of human life? Or do you mean the ones so beautiful their images march with them everywhere to satisfy a famished audience's eyes? Or something in between, something dark in the hallway just after dawn, a gleam, and then it's gone, and it's inside you. And you know that's all you'll get of this day, that one little sheen against all your doubt. Hold on, there are dolphins in the sea. It's not all sharks out there. The gulls woke me, and the Christians came home. Peace, sister, the eyes have it. Pink of the roses, quicksilver of the glass over the dusty window. Same old story, leaden plates engraved with artless forgeries. Look old, be old. The cashier does not even bother to look up. The invisible man buys Kleenexes. Already his tears are on the way. Book of lamentations, lost mirrors, children waiting to be born. Oh, I've heard it all. Non credo. The moon's voluptuous saraband, month-long striptease. And when the clothes are flung away, there's no one there. The sinner on his knees. Before no cross. How much can a lover stand? A breeze, a difference, that's all we ever want. Sit down beside me and tell me all your lies and see if I can tell your skin from my own. Oh. I've chosen a few poems from very recent time. I like to read recent stuff, as even reading that from springtime seemed like a long time ago. Anyway, I don't know why I feel that way. What difference does it make to you whether I wrote it last year or yesterday or tomorrow morning? Nonetheless, that's how it feels for me. This is sort of remembering my mother and father, who in the end of, as they say, the twilight of their lives, lived in one of those assisted living places by a stream where there were swans. And those swans seemed a great gift that time had given them. They went out and fed them every day. You know the way you feed a swan. What you don't want to eat. This is called nutrition. Clean as to mind a sign, no color name applied. Isosceles like spruce, like fire, choose the lock before you carve the door. The swans on the inlet at Oceanside by the old people's homes, assisted living, mother and father, fed the swans feed us, something unimaginable but actual, Gnostic nutrition, shadow on water, so clean, imagines everything. Did she ever want to be a sailor, she who was descended from seals? I found her seal skin often in the house, took comfort from no other skin, and all such dark, wet weather. Be quick about things, so they go on. What time are you in trees instead, when the other falls back into the self? A crow in a bare tree, it's radical. My mother was from that kind of Irish who descended from seals. That was the understanding. Charles Olson. Charles Olson would be, what would he be, 102 this year? Charles Olson wrote a wonderful short book called Proprioception, which I can say nothing about other than that you must read it if you haven't. But his sense of it was quite different, certainly from mine, but nonetheless, thinking about his book and him, I came up with this poem called Proprio. Proprio is in Latin, as it is obviously in French, too, and other languages, means one's own, that which is one's own. Proprioception is one's own internal perception of things outside. Proprio. One more other we could did learn off Olson, double modal. Proprioception as poetics itself, the body self, knowing where things are, just put your hand out with no thought, but with conscious will, reaches out to pick up a cup it knows is there, no matter what you remember. So language itself rises in us to attend this part obliterated intercourse of speech, and we by will to sing or say, open our auto mouths and speak, herewith the proprioception of word in history. The language did it. You may know the phrase basic English, which nowadays is used kind of casually to mean any simple English, but was in fact a rather thoughtfully arranged system of English as a universal language that was developed by I.A. Richards and C.K. Ogden many, many years ago in the 1920s, and was proposed as a system whereby if you learned 800 basic words in English, you could use those words to express almost any non-technical thing. You couldn't say, obviously, the phenoxylene 237. You couldn't say that in basic English. But anybody who knows what that is would know what it was when you said the English words around it. Because if you're not a chemist, you wouldn't get them anyway. So basic English was an interesting idea. And as late as the 1960s or 70s, some dictionaries still printed the list of basic English vocabulary. Anyway, I was thinking of that because I met Richards once when he was a very old man, came to Prague, was on his way to Alaska, and the poem comes from that remembrance, and also what basic English might actually be. This is in a number of very small parts. It's not in basic English. I guess most poets have tried writing poems in basic English, and some of the best ones you've ever written are in it anyway without your noticing it. Though even the western wind, when wilt thou blow the small rain down that day, doesn't write because Christ isn't a part of the basic English vocabulary. Those atheist English. Richards and his wife were wonderful people. They were taking a bus to Alaska. And not Juno or any of those Anchorage sophisticates, but Point Barrow. They were going by bus from here to Kingston, from Kingston to somewhere, and eventually wound up at Point Barrow. The joys of retirement, I suppose. You have to go when you're tired. Anyway, basic English. I met Richards once, his wife too, Alaska bound, Alaska of Tarn and Rodney. Oh, the wives I've met. Leaving the mountain intact, the beautiful hair of the mountain, the pure cold news. Arising, arising like a penny in the pocket, not very useful but very bright, like an old song left in your ear. The beauty of the place, the bow tie of the Mountie, guarding the approaches. Do you dare speak to your daughters, all of your daughters? Cantaloupe on white linen, half mounded with berries in it, torn clothes of the mountain, terrace scattered, moon still unsettled. You think it's random. I'll teach you a thing or two. It is, I'm not, there is a paradise not far from here. There is a mountain that never comes down. And you're here too, or your hair too, I can't be sure. You never answer. You just let the moon shine off the mountain wall. But most it happens to somebody's head, somebody else. By bus traveling, because close to the ground, never been there before, the actual underfoot of it, the bump in the road, Point Barrow, bound, and no reason, but no reason. The best way for language to flow steadily north with no intention. Nobody gets hurt. Meditation this on nobody goes. Each one of us a mountain is, who dreams it moves. And you there, not daring to listen, you mountain with closed eyes. Well, nowadays the most fashionable form of writing is, as you know, if you read college workshops or read the New York Times Book Review, is the memoir. We all have to play the game at the moment. Just as you all once had pet rocks many, many years ago. So I must have a memoir. This is my memoir. It's to a very great man. It's called To Marlowe. That's Gustav Marlowe. My own youth is here, is his. Light movement of the third. Never heard till I was 30. Still young enough, immature already, listening to the end. Always the big climax. What did I know? First, fourth, fifth, eighth. Song of the Earth. The Dead Children songs, The Wandering Journeyman, Lamenting Song, The Boy's Wonder Horn, no more. And from it I built my music, poor little child who had so much, so little. And then the climax comes, the woman standing at the top of the stairs, the face coronaed in light, her robe open, sends more light out. Dazzled by sound, it mounts. All of Marlowe brings Christ in Zarathustra. Put the two together and you get Moses, wet with the waters of life, baptized Marlowe. Egypt, prince in poverty, baptized Moses, the first king of the Jews. Up the mountain and up the mountain, and God only knows who he met up there. If anyone, a wind, a bird, a blinding light that spoke to him, he heard. He thought he heard, and Nietzsche wept. I'm afraid Nietzsche casts his spell over a lot of my recent mind here. So you must imagine the first part of what I read is on a page by itself in italics, as if it were an epigraph quoted from some noble source. I wrote it, but man who said no once too often, the fairies took him, and you hear still his sad voice whimpering in the yew tree hedges as you walk along the road to yes. Then imagine the next page of the poem again. How can you expect me to remember a thing like that when I And who are you anyway? Your face looks easy on my eyes, but my mouth is empty. So it really is the body after all. Only the skin remembers. Or, as they say, recalls. Calls again. Or calls to mind, breathless with anger or desire. I knew you once, if you call it knowing. So many things call out. How can you expect me to call louder than you do? Song of the opening door. Count the nays and divide by yeses. Breakfasts, empty streets, mystery of the sad police. Then call it a marriage, or more, a warm hand slipped into yours. I told you before how to tell the difference between a window and a door. That's all that science knows about the other side of there. Shape of a seated woman, a little mouse under her chair. Michael said, where is the water fountain? I'm sorry we don't have a water fountain here, but I have a cup of coffee. But I can't find it. You know, when the students run the meetings, they have wine and cookies and things. They know. When I invite you, expect an Irishman's house. Cold, with a pig sleeping in the corner. I don't mean it. The heartfelt things hurt, the broken contracts heal, the lease runs up. I've been your taxicab a long time now, and over the years have learned to tell you, show you where you want to go. I am made of destinations. You of desires. I can get there, but can't be there without you. We need a lawyer, someone who can distinguish between this and that. We can't, not anymore. We walk down the street and hear music coming from somewhere, that's where. But law has its own toxicity. In 1 year, we read through Torah once. It tries to make all the years the same. Literature abolishes weather. The regularity in us appalls. Do you ever get tired of trees, clouds, sunshine? Of course. That also is a law, diminishing returns. The coin seems to sweat in your palm. So it is about agreements, signatures, wax seals on clay jugs, sincerity, Mithra, god of contracts among men, Mercury, god of balances, bills of exchange, poetry, or that phase of it that is eloquence, the tears in your eyes, the lies. I don't believe my body anymore. But the real poetry stems from unknown deity, unnamed, though very real. Every real poem tries to name her, just so the reader can get some sleep, and dream the matter further. Real poetry, indeed. What would they think of next? It is a contract language makes with us, so that we can tell each other things we do not know. Say it, spit it out. The truncheons of grammar, the masked inquisition of your personal experience, try to beat it out of you. Just say it. There it is. Real already, nothing more to be said, and then there is. This, I think, is called clinament, though lately that word has been used a lot in the swerve, you know, to talk about the Neo-Lucretian movement to dignify a certain species of scientism. Mm. like this one. Quasha was using that word back in the 1960s. This word. Too much, too much. A swerve is commoner. Apart these mountains, I see no rock. What you hear is a market in your ear, screaming with a freshness of fish. You hear time, like a flag flapping. You have been told that fool FL words flutter, so you flee, flat-footed as ever, into the unknown moraine. The street looks down from high town ground, Miller Avenue, danger sledding, and even that you wanted, you and your narrow ankles. But what is actual? Only actual. So be stumm, sit in a cafe. A bowl of barley soup doesn't matter, knife is dirty, so long the fork she's clean. Even on holidays they have to have fun. I watched her spread the air between her own self. My punishment for looking was to remember. What is that other imagination, Coleridge asked, that isn't just reshuffling, recoloring, recombinant memories? Children's theater with cardboard scenes of cardboard women being dueled over by cardboard men. Color them as broad as you can, but there is another kind of knife, more like a tree. As we get older, it gets longer. Pinwheel in a monkey's fist. The wind doesn't care. The colors whirl, blur, blend. Never let me go. There are two more poems to read. So you can stop putting on your galoshes. Remember galoshes? Mackinaws? I saw an ad for a Mackinaw today. I haven't heard that word since my childhood. It's a kind of wool, fake tartan. I think it's Canadian. Maybe it's silver. I couldn't find the music in the well. Look deeper, look down there. See that little light? That's what you hear. I didn't see the music. It was waiting. It felt like stone. The stone was wet, the way lips are. But I was sleeping. It is simple. You didn't find the bottom of the well. Touch bottom and you'll hear. Inside the sound of water. Is it there now? Is it ever? The page is turning, isn't it? Catch the word before it. And the grass is fading. I didn't find the perfume in the vial. Things are only where they are. Do you really think that things are so? Dark street full of close parked cars. German city, but I can't remember. Dimly lit apartment houses talk. Ordinary living rooms, some other language. No wonder you can't find it. All the words are trapped inside you. They only spill out as sentences. But a sentence loses all its words. A sentence drains its words of what they mean. Makes them mean only what it means. Oh Christ, leave the words alone. Let them out along the dark canal, some other city, any other water. Walk up to her and say a single word. Assume in her the darkest comfort. Climb down the wet brick, down to where the earth begins. The kiss of mud, that perfect marriage, earth with water, as a flame weds air with fire. Perfect marriage. Listen to the bottom of the well. Absurd daylight. Stumble through the park, you quiet lens that summons light. The ordinary human eye is F28. In this well, the elements recede. There is only music you can't hear. It glows in the dark. It runs uphill. It's amongst the thousands of superstitions by which I conduct my rational life. One of them is very important to me, and that is to finish every poetry reading with the most recent poem I've written, good, bad, or banal, or even worse, or whatever. So this is today's most recent piece. It makes reference to what's on everybody's mind in Russia. They tell me, the Times tells me that Russia is full of people going mad with anxiety about the Mayan prophecies. You didn't think Yucatan, the big issue in Russia. Apparently they were all worried about the war ending on the 21st of December of this year, because one of the great Mayan cycles ends at that time. I think there are people on this side of the ocean who worry about that too. I wouldn't worry about that very much. If it's any reassurance, today is the day 11 Imush. Today, I should say that I owe this calendar to the great anthropologist Dennis Tedlock and his wife Barbara Tedlock, who many, many years ago gave me, they were day keepers of the Mayan tradition, they gave me the calendar. That is, they taught it to me and allowed me to keep it, and I keep it still. There's a man named Jose Barreiro, who works for the Museum of the North, the American Museum of the, no, the National Museum of the American Indian, who does a wonderful blog site on the Mayan calendar, the real stuff. I don't mean the prophecies, but the consequences of each day. And I rely heavily on him, as on the Tedlocks. 11 Imush. Today is 11 lizard, crazy, pray for rain, the sky opens, Mayan calendar. Let your right hand hold your left hand, steady, don't wobble. The end of the world comes every single day. Don't think about it, or don't think the one you are today was here yesterday. Not at all. You are new, new, here for the first time. No wonder you're so anxious all the time. We're all imposters pretending to fill our own names, like a little boy trying to wear his father's coat. The Mayans knew. Every cycle ends, a new cycle begins. Forget prophecies. All those dreamy optimists who wish that anything could ever end, let alone a world. Time is crazy, tumultuous, unrelenting. A crazy dancer never stops. Maybe that's why we invented art, to give edges to experience, so things have limits, limits, start and finish, because nothing else ever ends except this.